Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event for the women's flyweight title. Valentina Shevchenko taking on Alexa Grasso, trying to get her belt back. I love a good rematch. I always say that on a rematch. I do like a good rematch, especially when it's immediate and both of the fighters are very high level, because I feel like, you know, straight away, win or loss, you've got to go back into your training camp. You go, okay, right, here we go again. This person, I now have a lot more information about them. I now have a better understanding about them. So I'm gonna put that to use in this training camp. Or not. I mean, some people don't. But both of these individuals, Grasso and Shevchenko, I feel like they're going to do that. Especially Shevchenko, because she's coming off a loss. She's going to look at that last fight and see areas where she could have improved. You know, Grasso did really good things in the fight. There were certain positions where she was in a bit of danger, but she stayed safe and she did the right things. And we can see that her wrestling and her grappling is improving. You know, undefeated since stepping up to flyweight. I do very much feel like this is the right weight class for her, but there are certain positions that she doesn't really want to be dealing with Shevchenko in, which I'm gonna show you in a second. But this is an interesting rematch, because I think that there were a lot of things that Grasso showed Shevchenko that Shevchenko is going to take back to the gym and go, okay, how do I not fall into that trap again? And it's not necessarily like she doesn't have the skills to deal with it, but she wasn't in the right mindset to apply those skills. Like, Grasso was doing a lot of good movement just kind of in and out, because what you have to remember with both of these fighters, they're both more comfortable as counter-strikers, right? Like, you look at Alexa Grasso, and what she prefers is someone that's going to step into range with a bit of confidence, but not too much confidence, where she can just pick them off and slip and counter on the way in. Fighters that step in with a lot of confidence and tend to rush her, like Macy Barber was at times, that's where you see Alexa Grasso look smaller and kind of sometimes be pushed around. And I do feel like Shevchenko can do that, but that's got to be a decision and a game plan coming into this fight. She's got to have a good plan as how to do that, because Grasso is very good at counter-punching and like sniping people off the center line, dipping her head off or catching people with check hooks and stuff. What she did very well against Shevchenko, who's also more comfortable as a counter-striker, is she played with the space between them, right? And this is far more easier to understand in a grappling sense, because there is no space between the two people, right? When one pushes, the other one moves back. And when the other one pushes, the other one moves back. And this physical play between the two fighters is more obvious because there's physical contact there. When you've got two fighters that are not touching one another, the space is still very much there to manipulate, it's just more subtle. And what you'll see Grasso doing is she kind of bounces into range and out and into range and out. And Shevchenko's kind of staying there just on the same range, waiting to see if she's either going to step in and do something or, you know what I mean? It's like this kind of uncertainty on Shevchenko's part, especially because in the first round she got nailed a couple of times. And I think she then realized that Grasso she's playing this range game better than she perhaps gave her credit for, and she's faster than she expected her to be as well. I mean, Shevchenko doesn't struggle with speed against anybody, but Grasso was able to kind of half step into range, half step out, half step in, out, and she's like bouncing in and out, and then she'd go full step in with a jab cross hook. Southpaw as well. See, that's something else that Grasso had that was a real benefit to her, was the ability to switch stances and constantly force Shevchenko to go, oh, hang on a minute, now I've got to reevaluate. Because when you're in a problem solving circumstance in a fight, you're kind of behind the ball, like you're not the one that's leading the dance, right? So if Alexa Grasso is the one that's shifting the range and changing the angle and switching her stance, that puts a lot on Shevchenko to go, okay, so how do I stop her moving the way that she wants to move, right? How do I stop her switching stance? Because every time she switches stance, I've got to recalibrate my own attack and defense. Every time she cuts to my close side and makes me uncomfortable, then I'm on the back foot, because then I have to step to readdress her center line and realign myself with her. So, like, for me, Alexa Grasso did a good job of using her footwork to kind of control the pace of the standing exchanges. I think that was also evident, not only because she landed a couple of really good shots in the first round, but also because we started to see Shevchenko work for takedowns in the second round a bit more. She had one attempt in the first round credited to her, which failed. Grasso had a takedown attempt in the first round, which failed, although I'm sure that's the one right at the end of the first round where she... Doesn't she rush her at the end of the first round and get her down just for a bump, just for a moment, and then Shevchenko's back to her feet. I'm pretty sure that's what would be counted as that, as a failed takedown. But so then, you know, the second round starts and Shevchenko comes in, for me, with the intention to take her down. And the timing on the takedowns was better because now she's realised that Alexa Grasso is bouncing in and out of range and then really committing, which was giving her the opportunity to set that takedown up a little easier. Second and third round, Shevchenko was able to get two takedowns and rack up some control. She got over 5 minutes of control across the second and third round. But then the fourth round, she came out and she failed on a takedown. And then, of course, Grasso was able to chase to her back on the spinning kick, which we're gonna have a look at in a moment. So, interestingly about Alexa Grasso, first of all, of course, you know, she stepped up to flyweight, so she's 5-0 at flyweight. She's also got two submission wins on her record, both by rear naked choke, both in her last five fights. So we've seen a step up in her skill level in her grappling, but also I feel in her confidence. And I wonder whether that's partly down to the fact that she's not cutting down to 115 anymore, partly because maybe she's found some additional strength at 125, which she feels now she can apply to her grappling to make it more effective. She's very good off her back. She's very good controlling people with her guard, getting her shins in the way so they can't strike, threatening off her back, keeps kicking her hips out to the side. Like, there were some exchanges in the Macy Barber fight, and I rewatched it earlier today and thought to myself, you know what? She's really taking hardly any damage in this bottom position. Like, someone in the bottom position with Macy Barber standing over them should be getting punched in the face pretty hard. And she does a really good job of staying mobile and staying partly threatening, so Macy Barber has to react and respond to what she's using. I thought it was a very good performance, and I think we've really seen a jump up in her grappling that I think Shevchenko is probably going to have a bit more respect for now. Quick tale of the tape before I show you a couple of bits. So both of these ladies are 5'5". They've both got a 66-inch reach. The experience advantage, of course, goes on Shevchenko's side, 23 wins and 4 losses. Compared to 16-3 for Grasso. Grasso's got 4 knockouts on her record out of 16 wins and 2 submissions, as I've just said. Shevchenko's got 8 knockouts on her record and 7 submissions. 4 rear naked chokes and Ezekiel choke and an armbar. Hang on, that's 6. I'm missing one somewhere. Shevchenko's got a very economical and very streamlined game. This is why she's been difficult to beat up to this point, because she doesn't tend to overextend herself. And I say that even though she made the mistake of putting herself in a bad position, bad choice of technique, bad choice of weapon, bad choice of timing, bad choice of space in the octagon, all kinds of problems with the spinning kick that she threw. But it's a reflection on where she was at in the fight, right? I think she had a wake-up call in the first round. She scored takedowns in the second and third and was able to win those rounds, even though it wasn't particularly impressive. I think the referee stood her up at least once. Like, it wasn't the activity rate that she would want. It was almost like she didn't have the confidence to try and progress because Grasso was able to scramble at times. But she sometimes does things that put her at risk, like she did with the back kick. Sometimes she rushes through positions. And I think, like, now Grasso's got her respect, I think she's going to be far more cautious. I think we're going to see less risky stuff, less spinning attacks and less flurries into range, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be really interesting to see how Shevchenko approaches this one. And if Alexa Grasso can force the same mistakes out of it that she did in the last fight. Okay, let me show you a couple of things. So the most dangerous position for me if someone's fighting Valentina Shevchenko is the crucifix position. She's so good at isolating her opponent's upper body, shoulders, and then putting them in a position where they can't really defend their face. They're kind of caught, like, defending punches with fingertips from both sides. And there are some fighters that have excelled in this position, like Matt Hughes always comes to mind. For whatever reason, this seems to be a far more far more applicable in women's MMA right now. I don't know why that is, but there's a lot more fighters that use this position in the women's divisions, Shevchenko being one of them. And if you watch over in ONE Championship, especially where they've got knees to the head on the ground, you've got Ritu Fogat and Suki Hirata, both really good in this position. And there's a reason for it, I'm sure. It might be because it's more difficult to isolate an individual's arms in men's MMA, or maybe it's because of the flexibility of women's shoulders. I don't know what it is, but we're seeing this a lot more in women's MMA. But having said that, we're also, if a guy gets caught in this position, it's so much more difficult to get out because they don't have the hip flexibility or the leg flexibility or the shoulder flexibility. I was quite good at twisting my way out of these positions because I have got quite flexible shoulders, partly thanks to George St. Pierre for twisting them that way. But like, this is a very difficult position to get out of once you're in it. Getting into it is a different thing. And if you're wise to it, kind of like a Von Fluchoke, if you're wise to it, you can bail out before you find yourself in these bad situations. And Grasso does a really good job of this. And I'll give you the comparison so you can see the difference. So right now you can see Shevchenko's in a side control position, and Grasso's got this gable grip across the back of her head because, of course, she knows that she's in danger of getting hit here. And she also knows the full well that Valentina Shevchenko wants to isolate this arm here, and she wants to trap it underneath her leg so she can then start to strike without there being any kind of hindrance to her control. So what we're going to see is, as Valentina Shevchenko is trying to force this arm down to the floor so she can pin it with her leg, you're going to see Alexa Grasso running her legs towards the hips of Valentina Shevchenko. And it'll be more obvious why this is important in a moment. But what you don't want to do is to allow Valentina Shevchenko to get a hold of this arm. You can see now, look, now she's gone into a position where she's grabbed this wrist and she's trying to force it into this position here. So this is why it's called the crucifix. So both of her arms are occupied. We've got one arm over here occupied by the head. The arm is around the head, and Valentina Shevchenko is keeping her head either on the canvas or as close to the canvas as she can, so the arm can't sweep underneath and escape. So that's one arm tied up. If she can force this other arm in between her legs so she can trap it, then Alexa Grasso's in serious problems. But what you'll notice Grasso doing really well is she keeps bridging up, which upsets the balance of Valentina Shevchenko, and it gives her some space in this upper body area where she can start to try and get this arm free. Now look at this big lift. Valentina Shevchenko, just for a moment, gets the arm through. But the thing that I want you to pay attention to is that you never at any point, can't really see it on this screen, never at any point do you see her elbow point pop through, right? This is the point of control that Shevchenko's looking for. At the moment, she's got a hold of her wrist, which is fine for putting the arm in that position to start with. But once you've grabbed it with your legs, really you need to make sure that your legs are clamped onto the upper part of the arm so you've immobilized it entirely. If you're only clamped onto the forearm, then you're dealing with someone that's got more movement in their hips than you would like. And you can see that happening here because like you can see Grasso's doing a really good job of just keeping her elbow out. Look at that clamp there. So you can see that Shevchenko is across the elbow, but the elbow isn't through on the other side, which is where she really wants it. And the reason why she wants to get that clamp higher up is because this space here is then taken away, which means she's got better control of this shoulder. Let me just zoom out again for a second. So you can see that there's this space here, the upper arm of Grasso is in this position. She's going to keep running herself around this position to try and make this space here bigger. She's going to try and stretch it. She's going to run. So you see, she wants this shoulder out of position for Shevchenko. What Shevchenko wants to do is to pull this arm further through into this position so she can be across that shoulder. That's the control, across the shoulders. It's a perpendicular control. I had to look that word up just to make sure I was using it right. Parallel. Perpendicular. We're learning something, right? Welcome to geometry. Okay. See, can you see how, look, she's scooting her legs around. This is really, really good work. Scooting her legs around so she can pull her elbow out. And she's pulling this elbow out in this direction here. Because she knows that once Shevchenko's got past that elbow, she's then in a really, really bad position. And this is where Shevchenko's strength and base comes into play. She's so good in this position at basing out. Like, look, you can see her forcing the elbow, trying to get over it. And and Grasso's bridging into her, forcing to move, trying to keep this elbow free all the time. Like, very, very good work here from Grasso. Desperation, of course. And as soon as she fires this arm through, again, not ideal position. She doesn't really want her arms out of posture, but just for a moment, she knows she's not getting crucifixed. Just for a moment, she can hang on to Valentina Shevchenko and regroup. And then the other thing that she does really well to keep herself safe, she doesn't allow Valentina Shevchenko to keep moving around subtly and getting that perpendicular control. You can see right now with the shoulder, with their spine, Valentina Shevchenko's... Hang on, that's not very good. Valentina Shevchenko's spine's there and Alexa Grasso's spine's there. So they're not perpendicular right now. She's not able to get that control across her shoulders, which is why she's not able to use her head to control this arm. She's still having to pay attention to this arm because she's not across her shoulders pinning that down. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Really, really good work here. And then Alexa Grasso does this very smart little move of stepping her feet over to this side, which then for a moment just holds her in a position where she knows for sure that she's not going to get pinned again. Like, look at the alignment of the spine, right? Like, it's just not across the shoulders. She really wants to be there so she can control both the shoulders and strike without worrying about her opponent squirming and getting out. And we can see her do this really well against Caitlin Chookagian, because Grasso scrambles back to her feet. It's a good scramble by Grasso. She really shows a good awareness of what she's up against. Now, this is a very, very good move. And this is kind of maybe a bigger overall picture. If you're Valentina Shevchenko, if you want to take the fight to the floor, if you want to grapple, she's got to do it on her own terms. She doesn't really want to be getting tangled up in the legs of Alexa Grasso, because what we've seen Grasso be able to do is to recover positions with her guard. She's good in the bottom position, scrambling and creating space for herself. So if Shevchenko's going to take her down to the floor, she needs to make sure she's getting past the legs in a standing position. And I really like the way that she does this. So, of course, Chookagian's confident striking, confident jiu-jitsu, not necessarily with her wrestling. She throws a kick, it gets caught, she's going to jump up and hop to guard. And then she realizes that Shevchenko's not going to lower her down. Because if she does, then they're on the floor and Shevchenko's in Chookagian's guard, which means that then she's got to, first of all, think about defending submissions, because there's offense options for Chookagian from guard. Then she's got to think about passing to half guard, usually before you pass anywhere else, and then side control or mount or whatever else. So you're adding steps in if you land on the floor in guard, which is why it's preferable if you're a good jiu-jitsu player. And something that if Grasso feels like she's being taken down, she will definitely try and recover guard so she can be offensive. So watch what happens here. Shevchenko feels a jump guard. She lifts her up and Chookagian goes, okay, we're staying standing, hops off. And as soon as she puts her feet on the floor, look what Shevchenko does with her hands. Clamp. It's like, oh, okay. And now I've got the body lock. And now what she's going to do, she's going to circle around to this. Oh, that's a bad arrow. Circles around to, another bad arrow. Circles around into this position. That's better. And she's going to get past the legs standing. Watch. Lovely. Really clever. See that little knee bump? Steps out with the back foot, turns this knee in to kind of guide that near side leg, and then she's going to step around it, hook. See, the key is that, like, little simple footwork movements, right? So we go left foot moves back, right? Right knee pushes in. Left foot back, right knee pushes in. Now the right foot's going to come back, and that's going to create a little gap here for the left foot to swing through. Left foot swings through. You see how that resets in front of her foot, which then allows the right leg to come around and get the outside track. And as she drives, she's going to clear the legs and land entirely inside control. Just takes away all of that nonsense of working past the guard, especially with someone like Chookagian, who's good at controlling and threatening from guard. And then watch this progression to the control of the arm. Like, straight away, she's passed into this position. She knows she's got this arm partially isolated here, but she doesn't want to give it away too much. So most likely what we're going to see here is a flare or elbow. little bit. You see how that elbow flares out just a little bit. Very subtle. Very, very subtle. Little flare just lifts that elbow. I know these are minor things, right? But look at this elbow here for Chookagian. At any moment, she's going to pull that to the floor so she's in a better position to scramble. This little flaring of the elbow here from Shevchenko is just going to pull that elbow away from the thigh a little bit and let it slide underneath. Such a subtle little thing. Look at that little slide. Elbow comes out because she's holding onto this hand. So action, reaction. Elbow flares. The elbow comes out and then she steps over it straight away. Fires a knee through that space. Fires a knee into this space here to pin down the arm. Pins the arm, trap, and then she's straight over the shoulder. And you can see Chookagian do the right thing. She twists immediately to try and pull this shoulder out and get some movement to try and get her elbow free, get this elbow free. But by this point, Shevchenko's already way too high. She's across her upper body look. And you can see her trying to do the same thing, trying to run around this side and catch these legs, trying to pull herself back into a strong position. But it's just not happening. Like, she's already let Shevchenko get too far into this position. We can already see her elbow point exposed look. Now look from the top position. There's your perpendicular, right? That's the control that Shevchenko's got. She's controlling this arm. She's controlling this arm. And then she's got a free head to start striking. Really, really nice work. Simple, simple, basic ground striking. And the other benefit of this as well, because obviously you can see Chookagian bridging here to try and get out of this position. Look, this is why bridging works when you're in mount, because the person's legs are here, right? So if I've got a person who's sitting here in mount, say there's their hips, and she bridges up, the person's hips are going to get fired up into the air. But because Shevchenko's on her upper body, as her lower body bridges, she's not affected by it. And the good thing is that because she's got control with her head on one side and control with her legs on the other, if she does need to, she can just base out. Super simple. But there's very little effect of this bridging because of the fact that she's already on her upper body. It's kind of a waste of energy, really. But it's a desperation position. You've got to try and twist yourself, run around to the legs and try and get this elbow point to the floor. It's the easiest way of getting free of this position. It's a very, very difficult position to get out of once you're in it. So the overall point I'm making is that if Shevchenko is going to take this fight to the floor, she needs to do it on her own terms. She would be better to get past the legs in the process of getting the fight to the floor instead of trying to do it when she lands. And second of all, if she can establish this position, then this is where her advantages come into play. She now knows that Alexa Grasso is going to be trying to run around. So getting control of the upper body quickly and flattening her out is going to be a key. And that's going to be easier said than done because we've already seen Grasso escape this position. Really, really good work. Really clever, clever instincts. Okay, let's just jump back to their first fight. So this is what Grasso was doing really well for me. Right? Let me just play this in slow motion. You can see what she does is she kind of drifts away and then she'll move into range and then she'll drift away again and she'll move into range a little bit. She's like she's tempting a look. You can see she's just seeing what she's going to do and then she'll step in. Like a little step into range and then a big step. Where are we? Steady pace, steady pace, steady pace. Little step into range. Whack, whack. Like speed and timing was a big key for this. And you can see what Shevchenko's trying to do. What she's trying to do is catch her with this check hook as she's moving in. She's trying to whip her with this check right hook as she's stepping in with the jab. But because Alexa Grasso's stepping in with she's like, what are you gonna do? Like you can see her kind of like testing the range, like dropping her head into range to see if she'll throw anything. But this is where Shevchenko's a difficult problem to solve because she doesn't really open up much. And this is first round, one of the first exchanges. Like she really wasn't giving Grasso too much. So you can see Grasso constantly like tempting her and trying to get her to do something. And then she steps through range, jab cross, big long sweeping hook. And these kind of exchanges, we're going to see it in another angle, not right here. These exchanges is what, for me, encouraged Valentina Shevchenko to start to want to grapple more. Not because she can't beat Alexa Grasso on the feet, but because she was faster than she had anticipated. She was playing the range game better than she had anticipated. So it's almost like, okay, well, let me take the quickest route to victory, or what she thought was the quickest route to victory, which was grappling. And she had two rounds where, you know, she was largely successful with that game plan. The reason why I'm saying that is because you've got to bear in mind that she's going to be more prepared for this speed of Alexa Grasso this next time around, or at least I would think so. I would think she's brought in some like fast, like flyweights and atom weights, even if she can find them, people that are going to blitz her with quick combinations just to get her reaction time up, just to speed her up a little bit. Like, sometimes there's a benefit in training with people outside of your weight class for different reasons, and it is difficult because you've got to find the right people to train with and stuff. But like, for example, you know, like I would do a round at the start of Frank Mir's sparring sessions just to kind of make him feel like he was tuned into someone quicker before he then started sparring with the heavyweights. It's a bit like a trick of the central nervous system when you wear ankle weights and then you take them off and you feel like you're floating. You know what I mean? It's like I'm giving him the stimulus to be thinking fast because I'm faster than the guys that he's going to be sparring. That's what Valentina needs to do. And you know, if she's traveling around and she's training with a small group of people, it's got to be the right type of people to give her the right stimulus. So I would assume that she's done that work, but that's going to be something that we'll find out in the fight. But this was really nice. You can see Grasso steps in hard with this jab, and you can see Shevchenko's just leaning away from the jab. Like, the jab doesn't land, right? And this is partly because Valentina Shevchenko's got good management of range, but also partly because Grasso's point wasn't to land the jab. Her point was to get into range so she can let go with that left hand, which was a really good punch. And you can see that the right hook counter drifts over the top of her head just there. Look, really, really nice work. But then, this is the reason why we got Shevchenko starting to grapple more, because then she can take that movement away. She can nullify that speed advantage. She can potentially make the former strawweight feel small up against the flyweight, you know, queen. So it was an easy adaptation to make in at the end of the first round. And I think that, I mean, it worked. It worked for the second and third. But then the fourth round, she tries a takedown and it fails. And then you've got Grasso just outside of her range pressuring her. And this, for me, was just terrible decision-making for Shevchenko, which is something that we don't see very often. And I would be interested to know what her thoughts are on her decision to throw this kick. Because, you've got to remember, Shevchenko's good at this kick. There are people that aren't good at this kick that choose to throw it. I mean, Chris Weidman against Luke Rockhold. Like, I just don't know where sometimes people go, you know what? I saw that in a Jackie Chan movie once. Now seems like the right time to employ it for the first time ever. It makes no sense to me. We see far too many miscalculated spinning kicks. Sometimes we see really good ones, like Corey Sandhagen, Marlon Moraes, where he'd fed him the back kick a couple of times and then went hook kick to the head. Beautiful. That's you know, a really nice setup. This, for me, is a bit of a panic decision. This is a hope that Grasso is going to be at the right range when I throw this kick, and she almost immediately is at the wrong range. So what we're going to see is we're going to see Grasso step in, and we're going to see Valentina Shevchenko fire a back kick from this leg. And the reality is, even if Alexa Grasso didn't move, this kick is not at the right range to land in the midsection here. She throws it too long. It's just too long. But you can also see, I mean, it's going to be smothered even still if she lands it. I mean, it's such a tight angle. And the thing is, there's nowhere to go either. Like, look at the space between her and the fence. It's just not a good decision. Like, for young fighters, like, pick your times to throw spinning techniques. Because we saw the same thing with Alexa Grasso against Joe Calderwood, who got caught tangled up in a spinning back elbow. Like, you've got to make sure these things are set up right. It's wonderful when it lands. Like, Molly McCann did a great setup in London where she leant into her, made her weight lean in, and then spun. Like, I'm not saying it can't be used, but the timing's got to be right. So what we see here is we're going to see Shevchenko spin, and Grasso's going to step straight into range. And from back in the old Taekwondo days, when I've got someone that's good at back kicks, I'm not moving out of the range of the back kick because I'm more likely to catch the heel or the toes as I'm moving away. the safest place for me to be is right in the pocket on their hip. So we would just slide in and just hip check them, just bump them in the hip and knock them over. But this is an expansion on this for mixed martial arts, where you can see, and it looks to me very much like Alexa Grasso has stepped in with the jab cross hook again. It looks like that's what she was initiating. But she's also, and we saw this in the footage of her preparing for this moment, she's also been trained in her camp to be triggered if she sees the back exposed from a spinning attack and she can jump on it. And that's obvious because of the speed at which she attacks. But so watch Grasso right now. She looks to me like she's stepping in with a jab cross, and the cross gets tangled up on the hip. I mean, maybe she was expecting it, but I think she was throwing a punch there. Anyway, doesn't matter. She finds herself in this position where she realizes this arm is on the hip. The kick of Valentina Shevchenko has gone way past her. Like, if she'd have stayed there, then maybe that kick would have been perfect for that target. But why would she? Right, steps into range, catches her. Just jumps up. I mean, look how quick she gets those hooks in. Really nice work. Chases it to the floor. And then she kind of falls off to the side. Like, she uses this, like, you can use... Oh, hang on a minute. Let me go back. So she's got this hook control on this foot as well as this foot on the back of the thigh. So she's got a couple of controls that she's using just to keep herself in this position. But straight away, she's attacking the neck. Here we go. Here's the other... She's way too close. Soon as she steps that foot there, look how close the hips are. There's no space for this kick. It's going to go right past her. Lovely work. Jumps straight up, two hooks in. And here we go. Here we can see her kind of twist as she's twisted on the back. But the benefit in this is, because if you think about what arm is under the chin... It's this arm. So she's gone deeper with this arm. And then you're going to notice that she'll bring her hands palm to palm. This is something that Rose was very good at with her rear naked chokes. And she kind of hides this forearm behind her opponent's shoulder. But what Grasso does is she uses it to kind of ratchet it into position and then goes to the traditional rear naked choke. And I think because it was across the chin and not across the neck... This is why Shevchenko is going for the push defense under the elbow as opposed to attacking the top arm and peeling that off. If you do jiu-jitsu, you know the difference between those two things. Because if I'm here and I've got someone squeezing across my jaw, they're not choking me right now. It can be very painful. That's why Yorick's here. I'm going to talk you through this in a second. It can be very painful across there. But the danger is when that happens and they're across the neck. Then panic sets in and people are like, right, now I've got to attack the top hand. When in actuality, probably if Shevchenko had kept her chin tucked and attacked the grip, she might have been able to save herself from this. So that's something else that Shevchenko can take back to the gym and potentially work on. But you'll see the palm-to-palm grip over this shoulder in a moment. As soon as she feels like she's got that arm across the chin in a deep enough position, she goes palm-to-palm, look, pulls that in real tight. See how she's pulling this elbow back? She's wrenching that in. She's trying to get the point of this elbow as close to the point of the chin as she can. But of course, it's across Shevchenko's. So you can see the point of the chin and the point of the elbow there, almost in line. Not quite, but almost. But you can see here, Shevchenko's trying to push this arm up. She's trying to force this arm over the top of her so she can potentially start to turn into her. And we're now at the position where Grasso's now changing her grip. So she's turned this palm down. This palm's gone from a palm up. Sorry. This palm here has gone from being palm up underneath this one to coming over the top. And he's sliding across, which then means that this arm goes to this bicep and this hand slides around the back of the head. And then she's going to lock it in with her chin. And all the time... Shevchenko's focused on this elbow. She's trying to push the defense away, when in actuality, what she really should have been doing in hindsight is attacking this hand. Hindsight, of course, you know, she'd have probably strangled the life out of me as well. But you've got to. These are the moments that she goes back to in training camp and go, okay, I could have grabbed that wrist. I could have at least sacrificed one of my hands here to this wrist, so I was giving myself a fighting chance on that actual choking position. Like, look what Alexa Grasso does here. She's going to turn her head and she's going to slide her arm in. And this is the point where, similar to the, look at that. Now that's locked in. There's no way. There's no way you're getting to that hand now. Now, before Valentina can get to this hand, she's got to move her head. It's a bit like the crucifix position. Once it gets into this situation, you're pretty much cooked. And in this position, even with the forearm and the bicep across the chin, the squeeze that now she's able to generate on this, given the fact that there's no fight going on, there's no fingers inside or anything, all the pressure is on the underside. So if anything, now Shevchenko's enabling this choke a little bit more, and Grasso can now just squeeze everything tight. And for those of you that grapple, like, think back to that time when you got your first rear naked choke in the gym and how excited you were, and you got that grip and, oh my goodness, oh, I've got a rear naked choke, I'm going to get a submission, right? Then imagine you've done that a load of times and now the excitement's there, it's kind of cool to get a submission in the gym, but now you're clamped onto it on the champion. It's your second ever submission finish on your record. Your previous one was a couple of fights ago where you did the same thing. Like, how hard would you squeeze? How hard would you squeeze? Like, I feel like I would squeeze until their head popped off. And that pressure is going across the jaw of Valentina Shevchenko. This is not just a squeeze. This is a I'm going to win a world title squeeze. It's a different thing entirely. And the way that she savors this position as well. Like, even, and it's a silly thing to say, but look at the expression on her face. Like, she knows that she's so close. Like, that arm slides in. Like, look at the expression on Grasso's face. She's just like, there's prayers and there's like everything. Everything's going into this squeeze. Look at the indentation on her arm. I know these are silly things to point out, but it shows the intention and intensity in this. And then look how she pulls even a subtle movement. Look, this shoulder. Watch how this shoulder just pulls back a little bit. That's further going to drive her chest into the back of Shevchenko and make the choke even worse. Subtle thing, look, the shoulder just pulls back. All these little constricting, this is what you see with a snake when it's squeezing the life out of something. It's just a slow, twisting doom. Doom is what this is. Look at that. And there's nothing Shevchenko can do. Like, she knows now pushing on the elbow is no use. And here we go. And what the reason why I left this in is because I'm sure someone else has pointed this out. I feel like I've seen it before, but look at the tan line. Look at the tan line across where the arm was. I mean, that's like, it's crazy the pressure she was able to generate. You can see it as she's sitting up there, the squeeze across before the blood starts to come back into that area of the body. An incredible finish, really, really impressive. And just to help us understand, because in fact, let me give a shout out. Our friends at the Crystal Council, we've got crystals all over the house. I love them. This is Yorick. This is one of my crystal schools. I believe this is So Delight. The reason why I brought this in is because it shows the head, the jaw, and the head very well. I love these things. Aren't they cool? Shout out to Crystal Council, by the way. TheCrystalCouncil.com. They've always got cool sales on and great stuff. Go and check them out. So what I want you to imagine, right, is the pressure of a rear naked choke is not underneath here, right? It's not underneath here. The pressure of that rear naked choke is across here, right? And it's not across the top jaw, because you can squeeze onto someone's top jaw and it's mildly uncomfortable, yeah. The pressure and the pain comes when it slips over that top set of teeth and it's on the bottom jaw, right? The reason why is because this is, like, if you look at this as a bone, it's two main pieces, right? You've got the skull, the cranium, and then you've got the mandible, which sits in here and is locked in with ligaments and stuff. I know that because I dislocated it once and it's incredibly painful. And it joins here. So anytime you get pressure here, what it's doing is it's forcing this jaw. Let me see if I can draw it. So there's the skull, right? Is that skull? It's the side of the skull, right? I want you to imagine that's the back of the head. There's the jaw. There we go. So that's where your nose is going to be, right? And then you've got your mandible, your jawbone, which fits in here. I mean, that's a bit caveman, isn't it? There we go. So if this pressure, let me just switch that color. If this pressure of the forearm is going across here and driving into there, it's going to push all of this up into the jaw. It's a very, very, it's a horrible position to get in. I mean, you can do a lot of damage. Was it Alex Nicholson, I feel like he got his jaw fractured in this position in a UFC fight. What's his nickname? The Spartan. Yeah, I think he had a jaw fracture, and who was it that was squeezing it on him? Anyway, he fractured his jaw in this position. I would rather, and this is why a lot of the time you'll see this happen, you'll see pressure. Oh, because people would rather be choked. And that shows you the determination of Shevchenko. She kept her chin tucked until she couldn't get it out. But this pressure that you're getting on the bottom jaw, forcing the bottom jaw up into this, puts pressure on the neck, and it's a horrible position to get caught in. And it was a really impressive performance from Alexa Grasso, testing the range, and then the scrambles, getting back to safety, staying safe on the floor, and then recognizing that opportunity to be able to jump on her back. I think we're going to see a far more formidable Valentina Shevchenko, but it doesn't mean that she's going to come back in and beat Alexa Grasso. I think Grasso showed us a lot of development and improvement in her game, especially since stepping up to this weight class. Quick stats. I didn't do these stats, I don't think. So, I mean, like, honestly, you look at the stats and you kind of go, well, you know, Shevchenko, like, less strikes landed per minute, but a higher striking accuracy and a better striking defense. More takedowns overall with a better takedown accuracy and better takedown defense. You know what I mean? Like, the stat that goes in Alexa Grasso's favor is the submission average. But then you look at Valentina Shevchenko, she's number one for control time, which is 1 hour and 52 seconds, and number one for top position, which is 51 minutes, 57 seconds. So she's had 8 minutes of control somewhere where she's not been in top position, which is most likely up against the fence. But that's where she's going to want to be in this fight. She's going to want to be in top position, past the legs, pinning the shoulders, hopefully controlling the arms so she can work that ground and pound position from crucifix. And if I'm Alexa Grasso, I'm going to try and do the same things that I did before. I'm going to respect the kicking game of Shevchenko because I think that's going to be more on show this time around. But I'm going to keep playing that range game. I'm going to step in with confidence with simple punching combinations because she's quick enough to land them pretty much when she wants. And it startles Shevchenko. Then it's going to make the takedown offense easier because it'll make it more predictable for Grasso to read. And then, you know, she's away in the same direction in a title defense as she was when she won the belt. For Shevchenko, I feel like, you know, she knows where she wins the fight, but she also now has respect for areas where she can lose the fight. She can get outstruck on the feet at times. She can get caught with shots that do hurt her and she didn't see coming. And, you know, she can't give anything away. Like, she can't turn her back and throw, you know, spinning back kicks up against the fence because she's going to find herself in bad positions where now she knows that Grasso can capitalize. I am looking forward to this fight. This is another really good matchup, and I feel like they're both going to develop, and we're going to see better versions from both of them, which is very, very exciting. I hope this has made some sense. Check out crystalcouncil.com. Thank you, Yorick, for being here, and thank you all, and enjoy the fights. I'll see you next time.